Well, hey, today we're going to be starting our Final Destination series. I want to say on the onset of this and starting out, I pray that we are given from God a great amount of encouragement through this, but I think it also needs to be stated that some of it's going to be pretty heavy and difficult at times to process through. And I just want to be clear on that, that the God of hope and peace will meet us through this as we wrestle with, again, some difficult topics. But as we start out today, I want to share the opening lines to a poem called "Because I Could Not Stop for Death" by Emily Dickinson. She started this poem with these words: "Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves, an immortality." As she goes on through the poem, Emily Dickinson paints this picture of death being a trusted friend. She paints this picture of death being this trusted friend that ultimately comes to all of us. And this is a truth that we see throughout Scripture. In fact, King Solomon, the wisest man to ever live besides Jesus, spent the majority of his life seeking to answer the question, what is the meaning of this life? And in Ecclesiastes, we are given King Solomon's record of this, his writings on his journey to answer this question and how he spent the majority of his life seeking every single avenue and pleasure that this world had to offer, all with the intention of answering the question, what is the purpose of this life? And in the midst of that, as he went through this entire process, he comes to this realization that he proclaims in the middle of his writings, and he says this: "For death is the destiny of everyone. The living should take this to heart." This journey of life that all of us are currently on in this temporary world concludes at the same place. The end result is the same for all of us. It doesn't matter what our experiences are. It doesn't matter how we live our lives. It doesn't matter what we brought into the world or what we were born into. It doesn't matter what we attain. It doesn't matter if we are rich or poor, if we're wise or we're a fool. The outcome is the same for all of us. In fact, Solomon proclaims this also as he was processing through this, where he says, "The wise man has eyes in his head, and the fool walks in the darkness, but I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both." Here's the thing this morning. We all sitting here understand the realities of death. We've all dealt with it. We've all been touched by it in some way. It's no secret that death is part of our world, and it's the outcome that all of us have to face. But we're starting to go through this series talking about the reality of death, because what ends up happening as human beings, even though we know that death is a reality, many times we spend our lives attempting to ignore it. We spend our lives attempting to do everything we can to avoid it. And the truth of the matter is that there are many people, in fact, I would say most people, if we really stop to think about it and really process it, many people fear it. But even though we try to avoid it, and even though we try to ignore it, and even though we can live life with a fear of it, it doesn't change that the presence of this final destination always remains with us, whether we acknowledge it or not. As we begin this series, we're going to spend time addressing this truth this morning. A truth, again, that all of us know. All of us know and understand the reality of death, but I wonder how many of us, if we were honest with ourselves, would really say we're following King Solomon's wisdom when he tells us that we are to take it to heart. What does it mean to take the reality of death, the destiny of every person, every man, every woman, no matter, again, any aspect of life, the destiny of us all is the same, and we are to take it to heart. In fact, one of the Psalms says the same thing. In thinking about life and the end of life, the psalmist cries out to God and he says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." This proclamation in Scripture telling us to number our days means that we are to live our lives with the reality that we are on a countdown. I want to pause for just a moment. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here, because, you know, when we start talking about death, it's very easy to be like, man, this is awesome. In fact, it was funny. This week, Malia was just like, "So what are we starting out with?" And I was like, "We're going to talk about death." And she's like, "Man, how are you going to transition that at the end of the service to be like, let's go down and eat tacos?" And jokingly, I was like, "It'll be perfect. Like, go eat your feelings, right? Like, are you bummed out? Go eat some tacos. It'll make you feel better." But pay attention to what we just got done singing. Do you notice that when we just got done singing, all of us were proclaiming, if we were singing that song, some of those songs, on that glorious day. What do you think you were singing about? We were singing about our death. On that glorious day when I get to see Jesus. On that glorious day when I enter into the presence of the Almighty God. On that glorious day, we just got done giving praise to the reality of our death. So I want us to understand, as we go through this, death is a very difficult topic to talk about. And I do not want to, in any way, shape, or form, not acknowledge the fact that death brings a sense of loss, of grief. We've all been touched by it. We've all had to deal with it. I'm not trying to say there's not sorrow and sadness when it comes to the loss of loved ones. By no means am I taking that away. But I hope that as we process through this morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, our view of death is on that glorious day. I get to see Jesus. It should not be a topic we fear. It should not be a topic we avoid. It should not be a topic that we're scared to address and talk about. It shouldn't even be a topic that we're not afraid to give worship and praise for. Because as a believer in Jesus, there comes a glorious day when I get to experience the presence of Christ. But the psalmist is saying, "Teach us to number our days, Lord. Help me to understand that my life is on a countdown. The moment my life began, the moment my physical existence on this earth began, the countdown started. And I don't know how long that countdown will be. You don't know how long that countdown will be. But that is what the psalmist is saying. Teach us to live with the reality that this life is eventually going to come to an end. Lord, teach me to be prepared. Teach me to number my days." Part of our ability to live well in this life is to keep in front of us the truth that eventually this life is going to end. And in that moment, we are going to enter into the next. This is what the psalmist is saying. Teach me to number my days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom, and that wisdom will guide me in how I live my life. The continual theme that we're going to have throughout this series over this week and the next 3 weeks, the continual theme that's going to be interwoven each week is this theme, that if we have the right belief and understanding of eternity, when we understand what eternity is and what it will look like, when we truly understand this and know this, it is going to determine how we choose to live today. Our understanding of what comes next is going to determine how I choose to live today, because I'll understand that the point is not just about this temporary life. It's about what comes next. Years ago, one of the first, I mean, it's been a while, when one of the first sermons that I did here, if you guys were here and you remember this, and just to point it out, that mindset is one of the illustrations that I gave. And you may have even seen this on YouTube, because Francis Chan also did it once in one of his sermons. But I had a long rope and said, this rope represents eternity and our life, our existence. This long rope. And on the end of the rope was this little piece. The one end of the rope was just this red little piece. And I said, this is what we need to understand. The little red piece at the end of the rope represents our physical life here. The rest of the rope represents eternity. And that's what we're talking about, is as people, the psalmist is saying, realize that this little piece of existence here that we put so much effort into and so much value into, and we spend so much of our time focusing on, is nothing compared to eternity. And this is why the psalmist is saying, pay attention that the little piece here is on a countdown. And eventually, every single one of us is going to go from the countdown to the eternal. And that's where the psalmist is saying, give me wisdom, give me the heart to gain wisdom, to know how to live here. So this morning, we talk about the reality of death, that answering that question, what happens after we die? That is the question we're going to ask over the next few weeks. What happens after we die? Let's understand eternity. Let me give you a few responses to this question. These are actual real people. This is not theologians. This is not Bible teachers. These are just average people giving their opinion to, or their answer to this question. What happens after we die? One individual said this answer to that question. What do you think happens after you die? And she says this, I think you become another living organism. I would like to choose what happens to me so that I can wait for my loved ones when they die. Or I'd like to become an animal that can check up on loved ones or reincarnate, you know, whatever I decide. Another individual said this, I don't think anything happens, but I'd really love to freely roam the universe if possible. Another person answered with this, I sort of believe in reincarnation and karma. I would wish to come back with all of my same mindset and knowledge, but as a baby. And the last individual, an answer that was given was this, I know exactly what happens. Nothing. It's just like a light switch. Off. I share these because every human being, whether we realize it or not, whether a person claims to be religious or spiritual of any kind, whether a person claims to be a Christian or not, everybody has somewhat of an answer to that question. Everybody has ideas and thoughts to that question. What happens after we die? Some of the most popular answers were actually part of those responses. There are those in our world that say nothing happens after you die. This is actually, unfortunately, I will say this is a growing view, especially amongst younger generations. Younger generations that have grown up being told, you're just an accident of evolution. There's nothing special about you and your creator. So, of course, they believe that when I finally die, there's nothing. And this is a growing view, that there is no afterlife. There is no what's next. There's the popular view of reincarnation, which we hear from a couple of those responses. The idea that we get to come back and do it over. We get to try again. We get to decide maybe what we want to be and how we want to be it. And We just keep going through that process until hopefully we reach a state of peace or tranquility of some kind. There are those that have a belief in the afterlife, and their answer to the question, what happens after you die, simply says, well, we are energy. We are simply energy in physical form, and when we die and we're released, we simply return to the energy from which we came. We are just released back into the universe. And that is simply what happens. Then there's the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is those that believe that there is such a thing as an afterlife, but they put it in this terms of a spiritual realm that exists with us, but we just don't really understand it, or we only get glimpses of it. This is where we have people that grow up and hold on to these ideas of things like ghosts and guardian angels, that loved ones that have gone before us are here. This is where we get the one person that said, I would love to be an animal to come back and watch over my loved ones. This idea of a spiritual realm that we get to be part of and exist in. And then, of course, there's just simply the religious view that comes in many forms, but the religious view of many main religions all have the same form, meaning there's some form of heaven, there's some form of hell. There's even religious ideas of those that maybe have grown up in this tradition or have heard this teaching before, but there's heaven or hell, or there might even be purgatory where we go and we prepare ourselves for that moment when God allows us to come into his presence. But the reason I'm sharing all this is because I want to make it clear, every human being has an answer to the question, including us here. Every single person here, if I were to ask you what happens after you die, we all have an opinion. We all have a thought. We all have ideas. But I'm sharing all this because I want to say this, and this is the crux of what we're going to talk about today. A lot of the things that are shared towards the afterlife, a lot of the statements that we make, notice how they start. If you were to ask somebody, what do you believe about life after death? What happens after we die? You may hear sentences that say things like this, I hope this is what happens. Or you might hear someone say, I think this is what happens. Or I wish this is what happens. Or even I want this to be the truth. Or even you hear people say, I believe this is what happens when you die. This is the hope I have of what eternity looks like. This is what I wish takes place after I die. This is what I believe the final destination will believe. But this is what I want us to understand this morning. You take every statement that begins with, I hope, I think, I wish, I want, I believe, when it comes to the afterlife, and you set that to the side, because the only thing that matters when it comes to the afterlife is any statement that begins with these words, God says. It doesn't matter what I hope. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I wish. It doesn't even matter technically what I believe. All that matters is what God says. God is the only one who can answer the question, what happens after we die? God is the only one that can tell us what eternity looks like, because God is the only one that's eternal. What I want us to get with this is as we start this journey over the next few weeks, if we're going to seek the truth of God, we have to understand that the only voice in this matter that we need to listen to is God's. Not mine, not another religious leader's, not a priest, not what we've been taught by family, not what we learn off television shows or movies or out of books or YouTube videos. The only one that can speak to eternity is the eternal God. Only God's answer to the question matters, since he's the only one who knows the answer. Our responsibility is to seek to know God's answer. Now again, I want to express something, because I don't want this to come across as callous, because again, the topic of death brings sorrow, and it does bring pain, and there is grief connected to it. We've all, again, as I said, been touched by it. I don't want us to sit here and say, well, it's just a matter of fact and there's not an emotional element to the things we're going to be talking about. But this morning I want to encourage you with something also. While death can bring sorrow and pain and grief, death also brings joy. It also brings a reason for celebration. It also brings expectation. It also brings a spirit of rejoicing. Because as one individual facing their own death, and as they were sitting on their deathbed proclaimed, they said these words, "When Christ finally calls me home, I shall go with gladness." There is joy in it. There is worship in it. There is release in it. So the question we're going to process again is, what happens after we die? But why is that question so important? You ever asked that? You ever thought about that? Why do people, what does it matter? Why is it so important for us to even ask the question? Why do people have an opinion? Why do people want to know? Well, here's why. God himself has placed within us the need to ask the question. Do you realize that God has implanted in you the need for you to know what happens after you die? In Scripture, another thing that Solomon discovered in his process and in his journey of understanding life, he declared this. He says, God has also set eternity in the human heart. Meaning this, that you have been given a God-given awareness. Whether you believe in God or not, whether you are here today and say, I don't even know if I truly believe in God, I want you to know that God has still given you an awareness woven into you that there is something more than this passing world. Within the heart of every person, whether they admit it or not, there is a knowledge that there is more to life than this. There is the reality that there is something more. Why is the question so important? Because God wants you to ask the question. God wants you to seek the answer. God wants you to have confidence in the answer. He wants us to know that this life is fleeting. This is why Scripture says our life is but a vapor. Here 1 minute and gone. This is why his word tells us that physical death is a reality, because our physical death is actually our transition into eternity. He wants you to ask the question. He doesn't want us to live our lives without asking the question and seeking the answer. And here's the beauty of this morning. If God wants us to ask the question, and if God wants us to know the answer to the question, then we have to wrestle with our own understanding of who has the right to answer the question. Again, I don't have the right to answer the question. You don't have the right to answer the question. Nobody other human being has the right to answer the question. The only one who has the right to answer the question of what happens after we die is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks, is we're going to look to Jesus and we're going to seek to know his answer to the question, what happens after we die. This morning, before we finish and conclude, I want to give you the reasons why Jesus is the one and only one that can answer the question. So you can have that foundation, we can have that encouragement and that foundation to know that as we seek to know his answer through his word, that we're seeking the right truth. First reason that I want to give you is that Jesus is the only one that can answer this question is because Jesus is the one who stepped out of eternity and entered into this creation. Why can Jesus answer the question about eternity? Because Jesus is the one who stepped out of eternity to come to us. Notice what Jesus said about himself. In John chapter 3, he says, "I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak to you of heavenly things?" And notice what he says. "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man." Why is Jesus the one that can answer the question, and that is who we need to seek? Because he's the only one that stepped out of heaven to give us the answer in the first place. I was thinking about this week, and this was the thought that came to mind. You know, it truly is a foolish person who seeks knowledge from someone who doesn't know anything. It truly is a foolish person who seeks knowledge from someone who doesn't know anything. And when it comes to this question of what happens after we die, the world is full of foolish people. Because we're seeking answers from everyone who doesn't know, because the only one who knows is Jesus. The only one who can speak of eternity is the one who is eternal. And this is the beauty of Christ. Jesus was willing to step away from his eternal throne and enter into this mess so that we could have the answer to the question. I hope you're encouraged by that this morning, that Jesus wants you to know the answer to the questions of eternity, and he wanted us to know it so badly that he was willing to step away from eternity to bring the answer to us. Jesus left eternity to bring us the answers of eternity. Why is he worthy? Because he stepped out to share with us. The second reason is not only did Jesus step out of eternity to come to creation to tell us about eternity, but he's also the one who reigns over eternity. Jesus is able to answer the question about eternity because he's the one who truly reigns over it. Notice what the scriptures tell us. In Ephesians, he, being Jesus, descended, is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Jesus reigns over eternity. This truth is found throughout the New Testament, but even in Daniel. Notice what it says in Daniel, prophesying about Jesus. In the book of Daniel, it says, he, being the future Christ, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. But notice what it says. Pay attention to the wording. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, meaning his dominion is eternal. It will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Jesus reigns over eternity. This is important because Jesus, being the one who reigns over eternity, doesn't just make him worthy to answer the question about eternity. It means because he reigns over eternity, he's the one who determines what the answer is. Jesus isn't just someone sharing an answer with us. He determined what the answer is because Scripture is clear. Christ Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. In fact, in Philippians, we are told the one, being Jesus, is exalted to the highest place, and he's given the name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess in heaven and on the earth and under the earth. They will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why is Jesus able to answer the question? Because he is the King that reigns on high. Sing to the King who is coming to reign. This is what we just got done proclaiming together. Why do we seek the answer from Christ? Because he is the King who reigns, not just over your life, not just over this world, but over all eternity. The last reason that Jesus is the one who can answer this question is because he is the one who defeated death to give us this restored hope of eternity. Let me explain what I mean by that. That he is the one who defeated death, and he has given us this restored hope of eternity. Scripture tells us that, let me get past that. Tells us this. It says, this is the saying that has come true, that death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You maybe have heard that scripture before, but I want to share a story with you that hopefully will help you understand what it means. Give you an understanding of what it means that Jesus has defeated death. There was a pastor by the name of Donald Barnhouse. And he was the pastor of Philadelphia's 10th Presbyterian Church. His wife had passed away, and he was left with his young daughters to raise by himself. Now, this pastor had to do something that I honestly can tell you I don't know if I could do it if I had to. But he was on his way to conduct his own wife's funeral. And as he was driving to the funeral with his children in the back seat, he realized that he needed to say something to his girls. Somehow he needed to put it into perspective for them what had happened. He needed to give comfort, and he was sitting there praying on what do I share to help my young children understand what took place in the death of their mother. As they stopped at a traffic light, he is sitting there praying and seeking God's wisdom. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him in this moment when the sun, as it was bright, beautiful day, and the sun was streaming down upon the vehicle. And in a moment, a truck pulled up next to them and completely blocked the sun. So a shadow fell upon the car. And in that moment, as they were sitting in this darkened vehicle, the Spirit of God spoke to him, and he looks at his children and he says, "Would you rather be hit by the shadow or by the truck?" One of them responded with a smile and says, "Daddy, that's a silly question. The shadow can't hurt you. I would much rather be hit by the shadow than by the truck." The father then says, "That's right. And remember, children, Jesus stepped in the way of the truck and let death strike him so that it will never destroy us. It was he who was hit by the truck, and your mother now lives in the presence of Jesus because only the shadow passed over her." It reminds me of a hymn that was sung, dated clear back to the 2nd century. At the earliest part of the Christian church, hear what was proclaimed by the believers. "Christ is risen from the dead. By death he trampled death. And to those in the tombs granting life." The reality of our physical death is a fate that all of us face. But for the disciple of Jesus Christ, for the child of God, for the person who has trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that death is merely a shadow we must pass through. Because Jesus took the hit of the truck. On the other side of the shadow awaits for us eternal life in the presence of our glorious God, our Savior, our King, and our Lord. This morning, as we begin this series, Jesus does not want us confused on the answer to the question, what happens after our physical death? And he wants us to live by this glorious truth that those that are in Christ can look at death and say the same thing that the Apostle Paul did when he stared his own death in the face. Paul, awaiting his own execution, declared because of his faith in Jesus Christ, "To die is gain." Death is not the end. It's merely the transition into the beginning. It's a turning of us over from time to eternity. For the Christian, death is nothing for us to be fearful of. But it's that welcomed moment when as a child we're welcomed home. Over the next weeks, together we will journey to discover the truth of what happens after we die. But I want us to end, as we prepare to close in worship, simply this. Are you still living in fear of the truck? Are you still living in fear of what comes next? Because God does not want us to live in fear, but in joyful expectation. Today, we can know the Jesus who defeated death for us. Again, does that mean we still don't have to physically die? By no means. But it means the moment that you shut your eyes on this place, you open them in the presence of Jesus. Do you have that hope this morning? Do you have that assurance this morning? While that doesn't mean we rush towards death, it does mean that when it comes, we can joyfully accept it, knowing that it is our gracious God who receives us home. I want to encourage you this morning that you can know Jesus, the one who took the hit for you, so that all you have to look forward to is merely a shadow that someday will take you into the presence of the King. Again, over the next few weeks, let us process this together, but I want us to make sure we begin by focusing on the one who offers us eternal life. So as we close in prayer and the praise team comes and we spend this time in worship, I want to encourage you with something. If you are here today and you are struggling with the idea of death, if you are sitting here and saying, I want to know this Jesus. I want to know the hope of what comes next. I want to know what this means that he conquered death for me. I want to know what it means that where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? I want to know what that means. I want to encourage you to come and seek those answers. You can come, talk with me, go to the prayer room. I'm going to ask that the elders or one of the elders be over there to meet with you and speak with you. But if you're here this morning and you're like, I want this hope. I want this hope that what comes next, I'm ready for it. Come and ask the questions and seek the Jesus that wants you to know him today. Father God, as we close and spend this time just in worship, I ask that Spirit of God, you speak to us today. That the truth that Jesus, that you came so that we can know you. Lord, that you came so that we can have assurance in you, that we can have confidence in you, Lord. Lord, I pray that the truth and the reality that this life is not the answer of everything. This is merely just a short period of time compared to the eternal destiny that lies before us. I pray that that truth be real to us today, Lord. And I pray that by the presence of your Spirit, you speak to each and every one of us to be ready for it. Lord, I pray for those that have placed their trust and faith in you already. Lord, I pray that this moment as we worship you will be an encouragement to you, to them. Lord, that you are with them and you are for them. And Lord, that you, as Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place. And there is a moment that's going to happen where we are ushered into the presence of Almighty God. I pray that we are uplifted by that truth as we worship you. But Lord, I also pray for anybody that's struggling with this and ask that question, do I know Jesus? Do I know this hope? Do I know this peace? Do I know this assurance? Do I have this salvation? I pray that you stir within those hearts, Lord, because this is why you have come, because you have come to seek and to save those who are lost. You have come to give the hope of eternity. You have come to give the assurances of the kingdom. That is why you came, Jesus, and proclaimed, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, the eternal kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that we are drawn to you. No matter where we're at in our relationship right now, whether we know you or not, just continually draw us deeper into you as we seek to know your truth. But speak to us as we worship you and as we close together. We give you praise in your name. Amen.